and chapter number 10 to begin with. Hebrews chapter number 10. Can everybody hear me okay? Can he hear me okay? All right. If I get low, just raise your hand. We'll crank it up a little more. In Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 34, we'll read the verse, but I'm going to be looking at just one little phrase that is here. Chapter 10, verse number 34, says, "For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." The last part of that verse says, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now, Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 10. "For he looked," speaking of Abraham, "he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God." What a tremendous verse that is. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but he looked for a city, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 14, Hebrews 13 and verse number 14. "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." We don't have anything continuing here. I'm glad as a believer this morning, as a Christian, we look for something far better than what we have in this life. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 5, verse 1, a portion of that verse says, "For the hope of which is laid up you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We find here the Savior is identified. He is Jesus Christ. And we have something that we're desiring, and we look for Him. Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." This morning I want to deal with a subject that I believe is very close to the heart of every believer, and that's the subject of heaven. I'm glad, thank God, we have promise in the Word of God that we have a place that's far better than this place. Jesus said, "I go prepare a place for you." Now, He's not preparing heaven, but He's preparing a place for us in heaven, that where He is, there we may be also. I asked the question this morning, and before we answer it too rapidly, think about it a moment. How real is heaven to us? Just how real is this place that the Bible describes to us in multiple places, this place called heaven? It was there that we come to realize is the place that we long for. It's a home that which we want to go and when we die. It's a place that the Lord has promised to those that will repent of their sins and turn to Him and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He has delivered us from that place called hell, and we are a proud owner of some real estate in heaven. We have a place that is ours. We have something that has been deeded over to us by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in these verses in the book of Hebrews, we learn that we have no abiding city here. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham looked for that place, but he did not arrive there at the time he maybe thought that he would. That abiding city that is not here, it just simply means that we have nothing on this life in this time frame that is permanent. We may think we do, and we live like everything is going to continue on like it always has. But everything that we have this morning is not of a permanent standing. It's going to fade away. It's going to deteriorate. It's going to decay. It's going to pass away. We have a new car, and as soon as we drive it off the parking lot of that particular place where we buy it, it loses value because it's no longer new. It is beginning to go through the process of wearing out. You have that car, and a few miles down the road, you have to have something done to it because it's not permanent. It has to be always maintained, and the maintenance upon it is there gradually. If you don't maintain it, then it's not going to last like you wish it would or hoped it would. And so there has to be a continual process of fixing and helping and making it last as long as is possible. That's that no continuing place. We build a new house, and before long we have to do something to it. Before long, some of the equipment that is in that house begins to falter, and it does not work like it's supposed to work because it's wearing out. It's wearing down. It is an amazing thing. You can build a brand new place and a brand new house and never occupy that house. It still will not stay new. It will not stay like it was built. It begins to it begins to deteriorate. It begins to decay, and there's always that maintenance that has to be upon it. But thank God, you and I this morning, we are looking for a city, the city of God that is called heaven. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are seeking that place of heaven. So I want to think just a little bit about this place that we call our home that is yet in the future. We're seeking that place called heaven. It should be the main concern of every individual of this life that they find and they have interest in that next life that is to come. There are many people that search and look and try, and they work and they try to get everything ready to go and leave this world, but yet they've never found the real key. They've never found the real combination of how to go to that place called heaven. There are a lot of people this morning that if you ask them, they say, well, I'm hoping that I go there. Well, hoping is not enough to go there. There are those folks that will say, well, I'm trying my best to get there. Trying our best will never be enough. There are those that will tell you that I'm working all that I can to make sure my good works outweigh my bad works, and that's an impossibility because all of our righteousnesses in the sight of the Lord, Isaiah tells us, are as dirty, filthy rags. And so there's a lot of people that are searching and desiring, there's a lot of people wanting to go to that place called heaven, but they've never trusted in the will of God and the Word of God as to how to get there. We need to be interested in the next life that is to come. But in order to be heaven bound, we must be heaven born. In order to go to heaven, we must have a new life, a new beginning, and we call that regeneration, or we call that born again. And so the scripture tells us, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born again because of the word of God, and the scripture clearly declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is of the word of God. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 13 says, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. The only way a person is going to go to heaven, they must hear truth. They must hear the word of God. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed and were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1 there tells us that we trust after we hear. We must hear the gospel. We hear the gospel, we believe, and now we are sealed unto that day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 is the most clear presentation of what takes place and what has to be done in order to go to this place that we're dealing with this morning. We must be sure of the choice and the way that we trod. We must be sure that the facts that we have are correct. You turn on your TV today, you're going to hear a lot of things that are not true. And they're all under the disguise of religion. You're going to hear a lot of different ways and a lot of different means and a lot of different things that will make you happy and make you heaven bound. But there's only one thing that makes us heaven bound, and that's the belief and trust of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man. There's a right way that man, he says, this must be the way it is. This religion must be the right religion, or this way must be the right way, or this particular deed must be the right deed. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the Bible goes on and says there in Proverbs that the end thereof is death and destruction and total away from the Lord. Ephesians tells us it's not of works. If we had works of a salvation, then we would boast and say, look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. Look how I have made myself better. And the only way we can make ourselves ready for heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth that we might go to heaven, that we might have life given to Him. He became poor that we might have the righteousness of God put upon us and to have that understanding. So this morning I want to deal just for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to tonight deal a little bit upon this subject of heaven. Because you and I that are believers, that's the most precious promise that we have. A week or so back, we saw people in Texas fleeing their homes, and they would go to shelters, and they would take only what they had. Some of their evacuation was just immediate. All they had was just what they had on and what few possessions they might could grab as they left the house. We are seeing now this week three or four days of evacuation, and I think I heard that almost 6 million people evacuated from South Florida, and many of them have gone to where now the trouble is going to be, and so they have to flee again. There's no continuing place here, but thank God in heaven we'll not have to worry about that. We'll not have to have that fear and that understanding that things can change immediately. As we seek this place called heaven, we can rejoice and know that it is a real hope of every believing sinner. You and I this morning, we may not like the word sinner, but you know what? We are sinners. But I'm so glad that I can say I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. A sinner that has life because of Him. We have heard people ask, and there are documentaries and shows that have been given to us on the question of what happens when a person dies. That's always been a question. You and I, as a believer, we don't fear dying, but we're afraid of dying. We don't fear death because we know we have something better, but we fear the process of dying. We fear that what we go through, and we fear the unknown, and we fear the surgeries. We fear all the things out there that we don't have the answers to. But if I die, I'm ready to go. So I'm not afraid to die, but I fear the process that we go through of dying. And it doesn't matter if we're young or if we're old. Death is no respecter of person. I have known people that were that died very young age. We've all known the children that have died, sometimes infants that have died. We've known the middle-aged people. We know the elderly. We know all the spectrum of death. And so therefore, it is no respecter. It does not care. It comes to us. And so the questions are asked, what happens when a person dies? The question many times is asked, is there really life after death? You know, the only thing that is sure in those people's minds is this thing of death. We're going to die, so are we going to live again? We're going to die, but what happens? And so the sure thing that all of us have is that we're going to die. The question is asked, is death the end of everything? Is this life all there is? Is there an afterlife? Well, knowing that death is real, and we might as well admit it, death is scary. We don't want to do it. We don't face those things. And it's scary to think about going through what some people have gone through. Most of us probably have said, or if we haven't, we've thought it, that when I die, I hope I just die that quick, just instantly. I don't want to go through the process. I don't want to go through the pain. I don't want to go through the hurting. If I die, when I die, just let me go to sleep and wake up in glory. Now, that's the best way, but that may not be the way that the Lord chooses for us to leave here. And so since we know that death is real and we know that death is scary, is there a way that the world needs to prepare for that certainty of dying? I'm looking over the congregation this morning, and there's a day coming when every one of us will die. You go to the cemetery, that's a testimony that death is real. My dad asked me one time, we went by a cemetery, he said, "Son, wonder how many people over there's dead?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "All of them." I thought, "Yeah, I guess you're right." Really, I thought, "Smart Aleck, you're right." I didn't say that. But death is real. And the cemetery is a testimony that is coming to us. Death is real, and down here at Baptist Health is a testimony that we are deteriorating, we're decaying, we're wearing out, we're wearing down. Every medical clinic, every medical person, every person that's involved in the health system is a testimony that we have to have help in order to survive as long as possible. But there comes a time when no one can help us. Comes a time when we take that last breath. It's a point a man wants to die, and then the next part of it's very thought-provoking. But after this, the judgment. One time to die, but we're going to stand before a holy and a righteous God. All those questions, I suppose, every thinking individual that's ever thought of life and afterlife sometime has thought of those questions. The problem is most people that ask those questions go to the wrong places to find the answer. The problem is that most people that ask those questions never get the right combination, the right thoughts of what is afterlife. Paul says, and one of the verses that we read this morning in Colossians 1:5, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." I'm glad this morning my hope is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it is settled in heaven. There is something that's laid up for us. There is something that is there for us. That is that thing that's been anchored in our souls, and we seek to continually live and serve the Lord, and we desire that citizenship, that place where we are going. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of our soul." I was watching this morning some of the boats out on the water there in Florida, and they made the statement, "We hope they are anchored well. Because if they're not, they're going to end up inland somewhere, and the water, when it recedes, will plant them where they are." Well, the anchor of my soul is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Both sure and steadfast, according to Paul, as he writes there, that hope that we have as an anchor of our soul. That hope, that knowledge that we have, that hope there means a confident expectation of heaven. I'm confident and I'm expecting one day that I'll go to heaven. And every believer that has had any teaching of the Word of God has that confidence that they're going one day because of what the Lord has done for them. That word hope there is not like I hope Kentucky wins, or I hope Louisville wins, or I hope, nobody hopes Duke wins. Not in Kentucky anyway. That hope is I really hope they do, but I'm not sure. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a sure expectation that one day our soul will end in heaven and one day we'll be reunited with a glorified, resurrected body. That's that hope that we have in Christ. So heaven is that hope of every believing sinner. We were sinners. Thank God we heard the gospel. Now we got saved. And we have that desire. We have that thrill. We have that real hope of knowing one day God will deliver me home. Thank the Lord for a place called home. Jesus told his disciples, numbered 70 at one time, they had returned after being sent out with his message. And he tells them in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Well, I'm glad there's a roll call one day. I'm glad there's a roll book. And I'm glad my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad one day he's going to call my name and I'll go to be with him whenever it might be. And I have a sure hope that one day I'll stand before him because of what Christ has done for us. So every believer has that hope. Every believer has that desire. Not a desiring that maybe it'll happen, but we have the desire that one day we're going to leave this world. That's why I said a while ago, we're ready to die, but we don't want to die. And Paul expressed that in his writing. He said, to die is gain. But he said, I'm torn between the two. I'm torn to go to heaven, which is better for me, but I'm also torn to stay here, which is better for you. And so we have that battle that goes on. But if the Lord calls us as a believer, we have that wonderful, enduring hope and knowledge that we have a home in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Number two, I don't usually have just 2 points. I could say lastly, it's two. Heaven is the depository of our citizenship record. Think with me, if you would, for a moment. I'm glad that I am a citizen of the United States of America. When I go to, he can have it. When I go to Canada, as modern, as much like America as it is, I'm a foreigner there. I have no rights. I have no ability. I can't do what I want to do. I have to do what government says I do. If you go to another country, it's the same way. We made the trip to the Philippines. I was a foreigner there. We made a trip to England. I was a foreigner there, even though they all spoke English. They looked like us. You couldn't tell apart, other than the accent was different. But we were foreigners there. But I'm glad, thank God, I have a citizenship, not only in America, but a greater citizenship is my citizenship is in heaven. I have had it on the record there for a number of years. Heaven is the depository of my citizenship record. There's a day there. There's a time there. There's a process that it's in heaven. I read the verse a while ago. In Philippians chapter 20, or chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. And he's going to change our vile body one day, and we're going to be able to be just like him. That word conversation there is also translated other places, citizenship. I'm a dual citizen this morning. I'm an American, and I have citizenship also in heaven. There's a whole lot of people running around America this morning that are talking this this liberal thought that we ought to just have open borders and no such thing as countries. I'll tell you, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud that I can look at that flag and say, I pledge allegiance to it. I'm glad that I can do that because we have, even though our borders are in a mess and troubled, we still are a country that is a country independently. And I'm glad I can look at that flag and know it represents my country. I'm glad I can look at that flag and know it represents my country also. A Christian. I can pledge allegiance to that flag because the Savior came one day and gave us eternity. Citizenship is an important part of an earthly habitation. I have, I maybe have saw the movie, maybe read part of the book, A Man Without a Country, No Citizenship. To me, that would be a terrible thing not to be able to call anywhere home, not to be able to call any place mine. There are no citizenship means there's no rights, not to have a place to call rightfully mine. There are those that mock the reality of heaven and they insult my homeland. Those that make fun and mock the work of God and the Word of God and the heaven that He's gone for us, and their place to prepare, it should make our blood to boil that they'd make fun of that place that's real. That's my country. And we're going there one day. He said, in my Father's house, many mansions. Having been born again, this is our eternal home. When our citizenship ends in this life, thank God we take up our abode in that life and we have citizenship there. Our conversation is in heaven. And it says there, because of that, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies that may be fashioned and will be fashioned into His glorious body, according to the work whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And so we have a place that's called ours. Born again, eternity, eternal home. When this citizenship ends, we have a far better country to go to. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And one of these days we'll find that place that Abraham looked for. One of these days we'll experience the reality and the joy and the knowledge of heaven. One day when it's time for us to go home, we'll be escorted to the very presence of our home. And the Lord will say, well done, thou good, faithful servant. Faithful to the work of the Lord. The man, songwriter Isaac Watts, he wrote, when I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. When I can look at the title deed, when I can see that place that He's going to present to me, we'll bid farewell to this world. Earth is not a permanent home for anybody. For earth shall pass away. Earth shall be gone. There's only two places for the soul. One is heaven. One is hell. One is the place of joy. One is the place of torment. I'm glad, thank God, we ought to be and should be. And as a believer, we are homesick for heaven. We have that knowledge. So what is going home to us? It is stepping out of this dimension of life and going to His place that He has for us. It's an instantaneous transaction. When you draw the last breath, when life flees the body, as a believer, we will find our home. We may be seeking for a better place, but one day we'll find it. Memories are around all of us. I can remember going to my grandfather's place on my dad's side. He lived in Richmond, Kentucky. And when I was a kid, go to Richmond, that's a long trip. I mean, long ways. No interstates, no, you went through ever every little town there was. And so it was exciting when we was going to go see my grandfather. Now, he had a few rules that I didn't like. You didn't get out of his, you didn't get out of your car with a BB gun. He'd had too many other grandkids that just tore up everything he had. And so I remember going up there one time. He said, "If you got a BB gun, just don't get out." I said, "I didn't bring one." And there's rules when we go see other people. But what a joy it is to be able to remember those things. To remember the activities, remember the folks gathering around and talking. We had a few people yesterday that we went to see, and one of the guys that I saw hadn't seen him for 35 years, and we began to talk about what used to be. It's a wonder we survived. It's a wonder we lived. And we'd laugh and we'd talk. Those are things we do as we reminisce and think about days gone by. We go back. My dad would go back home. He'd make that trip to where he was from. He'd make that trip to areas that he knew. We'd go to people's houses, and I was so bored. Why'd they have to go down here and talk all day long? Never did anything fun, but it was good for him. Now I find myself, and I find my grandkids say, "Boy, why do we have to do this?" We become our parents, you know. But those occasions of going, we remember, and we arrive there, and we sit around the table, we laugh, we talk, we reminisce, only to realize those are in the past. But there's a far greater day. Can you imagine going to heaven compared to going back home? Can you imagine how much joy it'll be when we enter the portals of glory and we can sit down with those that have gone before us and we can remember what we've had? As a Christian, we don't have anything right now except this present evil world. But one day, we'll go home. One day, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let me describe to you as best possible what home should be to us. It's the place that's been called, it's the place where the heart is. It's the most sought after place on earth at the end of a day of hard work. It's ever so humble to go to a place called home. It's where the family lives. It's where most important decisions are made and most important people live. That's home. It's where we feel secure from outside threats, safe from the storms, a place of retreat. It's a place where we make decisions and we carry those things out the next day. One of these days, I believe soon, and very soon, we're going to be going home. Going to be going to that place that's called heaven. I've said so many times, it's not just a place that's called heaven. It's a place that is heaven. And as a believer this morning, we have had put upon our heart the understanding that I've got a place called home. Heaven is not an imaginary fancy. It's real. It's just as real as the carpet that we stand on and the floor that we walk across. It's just as real as this platform, this pulpit. It's just as real as the clothes that we have on. Heaven is there. Heaven is real. Heaven is waiting. And thank God one day, as a believer, I'm going there. What a wonderful thought to be able to say, I'm going home. There's probably not a one of us in here that maybe have been on a trip and say, "Boy, it's so glad, so good to what? Be home. So good to be at my house, my home, my rest." When we get to heaven, we're going to say, "So glad to be in my home, my place of rest, my joy." So this morning, we have the place, heaven, our home. As a believer, as a Christian, we are seeking diligently to serve the Lord and serve Him until He comes for us, that one day we'll experience that place called heaven. But the only way to do that, as I said earlier in the message, to be heaven bound, you must be heaven born. Born again by the Spirit of the Lord. Let's stand together this morning.